Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Naeem Bouchereb, the owner of the Iowa Oriental Rug Company and Renaissance Antiques in Davenport. And we're going to explore the topic of Oriental rugs today, their history and design. Welcome, Naeem.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad I had the chance to talk with you, because we haven't covered the decorative arts yet on this program. And this story really starts when you were a very young person and found yourself gravitating towards old things. Describe how you became involved in your business.
I had an antique shop in Davenport, and one day this gentleman from Iran, his name was Joseph Lavian, he came to the area looking for antique Persian rugs, which I didn't have, but I was very much interested in I asked him if he can come and open a store here in the Quad City, which he did. Then I started learning about him from him. He taught me everything to know about not only Persian rugs, tribal rugs, Russian rugs, rugs from the Caucasus, who are very, very collectible. And I started going on the road and buying antique rugs and selling them to the Germans and the Italians and the Swiss.
That's so interesting. You had said before, you know, you were again running this antique store. You told me where there are antiques, there are rugs, and where there are rugs, there are antiques.
So absolutely.
They really are linked.
Yes. You know, they go all together all the time. You know, wealthy people that have the silver, the crystal, the rugs, all connected together.
Now, you grew up in Morocco. Was your family into antiques or rugs? Did you learn this skill, this trade from a family member?
No, not at all. My dad was a judge and he was a farmer. And when I was 6, 7 years old, I used to go to flea markets.
Which must have been really pretty exciting at that stage in Morocco.
Oh, yes.
I'm guessing. Yeah. And the story behind how you ended up in the Quad Cities, how you came to the States, is really quite interesting.
Yes. I was in Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, Illinois, and I met a lady at the USO in Chicago that was from Moline, and we got together and we got married. And when I got out of the service, we came to the Quad Cities in 1972.
So you've been here a long time, and that's really interesting. So you were in the Moroccan Air Force, and there was some reciprocal arrangement with the U.S. Air Force.
And the French Air Force also.
Huh. The term Oriental rug, which is in the, you know, the name of your business, is somewhat of a misnomer. What countries do these rugs come from? There's somewhat something called the rug belt.
Well, there is the Persians, the Turks, the Indians, the Pakistanis, Morocco, Romania. In the old days, the French and the English, they also had handmade rugs. So the most important thing is to know who the maker is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's important about them.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said Persian rug, those are rugs from Iran.
Yes, they're called Persian. They're from Iran. Iran was called Persia until 1935.
Mm-hmm.
Then they changed the name to Iran.
There are some other differences between Persian rugs and what we call Oriental rugs. Besides coming from Iran, the Persian rugs are very high quality.
Yes, basically the best rugs in the world are Persian, and everybody reproduces Persian rugs.
And what makes them better?
They're made by master weavers. Most of them, good rugs, are always made by master, just like paintings, you know. Of course, there is a low end and a high end in every country, and but the finest always been the Persians.
Mm-hmm. And the better rugs are a thin pile.
Yes.
Versus a thicker rug.
Yeah, the thinner they are, the better they are.
Mm-hmm. And the Persians are, it sounds like, also known for their extremely rich color combinations.
Yeah. And the count, the nuts count goes from 100 to 700-800 nuts per square inch.
Well, that's so dense.
Yes,
so many nuts.
So dense, you
know. And do they? There's a difference in knots too. Knots can be tied in different ways. So some rugs are characterized by different knot tying techniques.
There is the Persian knot and the Turkish knot. Mm-hmm. Those are the two major knots used.
You had mentioned the master weavers, and then you'd also mentioned the tribal rugs. So they can be made in very different ways. Can you describe the major differences between these two types of production?
For example, Isfahan rugs, they're family rugs. They're made by families, and they sometimes takes years to make a rug. Now, tribal rugs, they're made in tents where people live, and they have a wool foundation, and they just make them quickly and take them to the market and sell them to dealers. And
but they're still very collectible.
Very. Tribal rugs are very collectible. Mm-hmm. They're one of a kind.
Yeah. You know,
they're not factory made.
And because they're made in tents often in these small villages, their looms are built differently.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's very personal.
And they're more, I think, horizontal versus these master weavers use these really large upright or vertical looms.
Yes. And sometimes when they are extremely fine rugs, they use a needle.
There's a link between the different types of patterns as well. So the master weavers tend to use more, like make more formal patterns.
Yes.
Correct? And then how would you describe the tribal rugs?
Well, the tribal rugs are very geometrical design. They're mm-hmm. more arts and craft. Mm-hmm. And they're more warm rug because they're made by a family, and they're one of a kind. So.
And their backing is wool versus the master weavers may use what other materials for the back of their rugs?
Yeah, the foundation for with master weavers usually they're cotton or silk, where the tribal rugs, they use a wool foundation, a natural wool foundation And wool is not very strong, so those rugs are not very, very strong.
Well, I love the fact that rugs are generally named after the village or town where they were woven, or by the weaving tribe in the case of these nomadic pieces.
Absolutely. Basically, in Iran, every town has its own work that is 100% different than the next town, which could be as far as 20 miles. And that's how we know they have different color, different weave, different design. That's why when we say there is a rug here that was very popular in the U.S. called the Serouk. And about 1910, this gentleman from the U.S. designed this rug and went to this little village in Iran and had thousands of them made, and they became an American rug, an American tradition. And there's 100 years later, they're still in perfect condition. Mm-hmm. You can find them very often.
Yeah, because they do last a very long time. They're so well made.
Yeah.
And so because they last a long time, you know, we've been able to trace back the art of rug weaving is very ancient. And approximately when do people believe that rug weaving began? It can be traced back for a very long
thousands
time.
Thousands of years, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but because it's a fabric, of course, it's always subject to decay.
Well, wool will decay and silk will decay, but silk will decay faster than wool.
Well, the colors are beautiful in a Persian or Oriental rug, and most of the dyes now are synthetic. But in the past, they were made from natural dyes, from plants or animals. Are some of those natural dyes still used?
They're still used, but they're a bit expensive, but they're still used.
Mm-hmm. And you had said before that you can sometimes tell where rug is made simply by the colors.
Yes, absolutely. See, every country has its own colors. Chinese got their colors, or Indians, or the Pakistani. So right away, we know by the color.
Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing about you being such an expert in your area, is that you can tell that. You told me a story the other day about someone who purchased a rug that she thought was from one part of the world, where in actuality it was produced someplace different.
Absolutely. You know, I always say when you're buying a rug, the provenance is very important.
The provenance.
Yes.
Yes. Where it came from.
Yes.
Where you purchased it from.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you purchase rugs, what qualities do you look for?
When I buy them, there is different prices. Somebody wants to spend $1,500, or somebody wants to spend $10,000. I have big variety of different works for different people.
But ultimately, it comes down to the emotional value of a piece,
yes,
too, besides, of course, the design and the materials, yeah, that are used. But you need to just love it.
Oh, yes. You know, rugs in this country have always been loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a matter of fact, one time this lady had a couple of antique rugs, and I went to see her, and I signed a check. And I told her, here, put your price on it. She looked at me, she said, you can take my food, but you never take my rugs.
Well, yeah, and they really, and they're passed down from generation to,
yes,
generation. So
yeah, absolutely.
People really do become deeply,
yeah,
connected,
yes,
with these.
We usually buy rugs, antique rugs, from the inheritors, not the owners.
So you sell new and used rugs at your store. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why it's so interesting to,
yeah,
me.
We sell new, used, and antique rugs.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in the knotting, and you had said before the density of the knots correlates to the quality of the rug.
Right.
And some people compare the knots to like the pixel of a digital picture.
Yes.
So the more dense, the more the more elaborate the design and the colors, I'm guessing, would be more pronounced.
Absolutely. You know, when the finer rugs, they have very clear pattern, very symmetrical, very perfect. When it's less quality, when you just average rugs, they cut them real high. That way, they look better.
You had mentioned that the different varieties of rug design. There are many different types. Some are very intricate with elaborate borders. Some have medallions in the center. Some are covered by a more uniform, you'd use the word geometric pattern.
Yes, yes.
Does the particular design tell you something specific about where a rug was produced or who made it?
See, like we said, every town is its own work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, towns like Isfahan, Qum, Kashan, those are very well known for their formal rugs.
Mm-hmm. So it's the design and the colors and,
yes,
the pigments that are,
yeah,
used. Both,
absolutely,
of those tell you and give you clues as to where it originated,
yes,
from.
Exactly. And for geometricals, you got like Hariz, like Shiraz, like more small towns or tribals.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very geometrical design.
The collecting of Oriental rugs as an art form began in this century, around at the turn of the century, between the late 1800s and 1900s,
right,
I think, is when it became very popular in the United,
right,
States. Of course,
right,
worldwide, they've been used for many, many, many hundreds of years, if not millennia, and really provided kind of a sense of culture, a refinement to families.
Well, here's an example. One of the largest, probably the largest collection of Oriental rugs, antique Oriental rugs in the world, is in Moline.
What?
Yes.
Where?
In Moline, Illinois, in a house. There's this gentleman. He has a special room built with cobwebs, and he sticks all his rugs in there, and he used to call me every 2-3 years to come and appraise him.
Oh, I had no idea.
Look, yes.
Well, I'm not sure if it's appropriate to mention a name,
no,
here or not, but
no,
those collectors really are what then feed galleries,
oh,
and,
yes,
museums.
Yeah. This gentleman has a museum of rugs, not only rugs, everything else in his house.
Do you think is the plan to donate them at once?
Well, after he passed, I never contacted the family, I know for a fact they probably will take them to some very important auction house or,
yeah,
something. You know.
Huh. Well, I had read, for people who are interested in antique rugs, it's a little bit of a drive in St. Louis, but the St. Louis Art Museum has apparently a great collection. It was last displayed, I think, in 2016.
Yeah.
It's probably part of their permanent collection, but, yeah, there is they call it the James Ballard Collection, and that was an individual who amassed a tremendous number of rugs, apparently, and split his collection between the St. Louis Art Museum and the Metropolitan,
yeah,
Museum of Art in,
yeah,
in New York City. So, yeah, they really are collectibles. Now, at some point, they kind of fell out of favor in the United States. In the, what did you say? I think you told me earlier, the 60s, 1960s, 1970s, rugs weren't in favor as much, at least here in the U.S. So many of the rugs here were sold and sent back overseas to Europe.
Right. Well, it happened when people got into carpet, they forgot about rugs and they just gave
them
away.
To carpet, uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just started giving them away. And now they're all in Europe. All American rugs are in Europe. What's left here is just very little of collections and whatnot.
But now they've seemed to have, they're experiencing a resurgence a little
bit,
it seems like to me.
Oh, absolutely. People start having hardwood floors again.
Yeah.
And then they're looking for rugs, but more modern rugs, more not very important rugs. But we still sell the traditionals, which is traditional always stays.
Mm-hmm. And the good. U.S. is somewhat unusual in terms of we use more carpet than other countries.
Yes.
More people in other countries tend to have a higher percentage of wood floors, and then there is, of course, space and a place for these beautiful rugs.
Yeah.
Some people, of course, would hang them as a tapestry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I hang them on the walls. There is many beautiful rugs, like prayer rugs and whatnot, and people hang them on the walls, like silk rug and very collectible items. And like you said, all Europeans basically use oriental rugs. They don't have carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, where do you obtain your rugs?
Well, I used to import some from Iran, but most of the time I get them through distributors in New York and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And you just developed a working relationship with them over the years?
Yes.
Yeah. If someone is interested in purchasing a you know quality rug for their home, what should they know or what should they look for?
Well, see the rug that they like first and like the colors and like the patterns. That's the most important thing. And they want to live with it. You know, that's what it is. It comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
I can show them the best rug in the world. If they don't like it, it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. You'd warned me before about the dangers of internet purchasing with rugs.
Yes. Buying a rug on the internet is not good because pictures is always 100% different than the rug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of just like you can't tell the exact color.
No.
And there's something about a rug, it's very tactile experience.
Yes.
You want to feel it.
Yes.
Well, see what the back is like.
Never buy a rug until you take it home and try it, period.
You mean put it in your house
with
your own things?
Yeah, put it in your house, put it in the spot you want it and see how it looks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have some problems, you know. Like I said, for some reason or another, when you take a picture of a rug, it's 100% different than the rug. 100% different.
You can say that about people sometimes, too. This is such an ancient art. Are there threats to continued rug production in our modern times?
Well, when politics get into the business and the art business is not good. And usually when it comes to rugs, politics always get into between this and that like before.
Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned in Iran where the Persian rugs always come from, that they are kind of, there's a little bit of a trend away from rug production there, manufacturing.
Yeah. People got wealthier, they go into construction business and they just gave up rugs. And as I explained to you, rugs are more expensive in Iran than the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Well, because there is more rugs, more Persian rugs in this country than there are in Iran.
Ah.
Because for 100...
Can you just repeat that?
Yeah, don't hit the microphone.
Okay.
I'll say, and why is that?
Well, because most of the rugs, they came to this country. You know,
they were exported.
Exported, and a rug doesn't die. You know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, they're still all here.
Hmm.
So.
And so because they're producing less now, they're actually very costly to those people living there.
Yes.
Huh. Tell us if you can about the services that you offer, because I think this is interesting. Besides selling rugs, for people who own one, you should know that that your company, you also offer some specialized cleaning and repair work.
Yes, we clean rugs, we remove stains, reweave if you have a hole or dry
reweave.
Rug.
Reweave.
Yeah, we reweave. I got a weaver that is out of this world. You can do work into perfection.
Now, you had said a reweaving you sent to your contacts in New York City,
yes,
right, where they repaired there and then sent right back. So that's a yeah service that we can take advantage of for
right
people who
absolutely
have really yeah quality rugs here. Besides your beautiful rugs, you also deal in high-end antiquities, and you're the yeah only purveyor of these items that I know of in the Quad Cities. What type of antique objects do you sell?
We specialize in glass. Most of it will be like Lalique, Tiffany, Quoizel, Steuben, and lamps. We do like Handel, Pierpoint, Tiffany lamps. Then glassware from Germany, porcelain, the Vienna, basically anything that is really high quality.
Yeah.
That's what we specialize in. A lot of paintings and watercolors.
It's beautiful. I saw some sterling
yes
pieces when I was
and
in
silver,
there.
And silver, of course. Mm-hmm. We do some silver. We specialize in antique silver also.
Mm-hmm. Right now you have this really interesting, I think it's mahogany, maybe a music box.
Yes.
From the turn of the century.
Yes. And music boxes. This special music box has drums and bells and kind of a museum piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like old things, and I yeah just have a good time doing it.
Well, we're so glad that you do, so that yeah we get to see them. Yeah. Where do you find your antiques? Because I'm imagining the source is a little different from where you
yes
purchase your rugs.
All over the country. All over the country. There's not much antiques in the Midwest,
mm-hmm,
but I've been bringing a lot of fabulous pieces.
Like auctions or estate sales, or where
yeah
do you go?
Yeah, big shows, auctions. I used to travel to France a lot and Germany. And
and you speak French.
Yes,
I
speak four languages. I used to travel to France, Germany, some European countries, and buy antiques there and bring them back. Mostly small stuff, no furniture. So then all over the country I go to big shows like Miami and Boston and everywhere. Where there's Denver, there's some big shows everywhere, and we contact with dealers and we buy and sell them.
Yeah, that must be so interesting. What do you find is the biggest source of satisfaction in your work?
Well, I'll do it for free if I have to. I just love antiques.
Mm-hmm. What you had said before, you were like 7 or something, living in
yes
Morocco when
yeah
you decided that you just loved old things,
and yes,
maybe it was
yeah
the you know the allure the
yeah
the of those flea markets like you had talked
yeah
about that
I
started
to,
this for you.
I used to buy coins then, American coins. People, ladies used to use them for jewelry on their heads.
Huh. Yeah. Back in Morocco.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Naeem Bouchareb, thank you so much for talking today. It was just so interesting, and I hope people can stop by and see the Io Oriental Rug Company and talk with Naeem sometime in person. The store is located at 3885 Elmore Avenue in Davenport in the Cloverleaf shopping area, and you do need to look for it a bit as it's tucked back between Doland Jewelers and Sam's Club near the Heritage Natural Food Store. It's a hidden gem for those who appreciate Oriental rugs and the other decorative arts. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.